Since Jesus has transformed me, my life has become more abundant. I've traded luxury for significance, and I've traded accomplishments for relationships. I'm much happier. I'm much fuller. I look forward to every day.
He set a new direction for my life. You know, he said, don't follow your own self-interest or desires, but follow my plan for your life.
I feel like he's given me so much joy throughout my Bible studies each morning. I feel like he opens up the Word, and each morning there's something new, something he wants me to put into my day that my book or the iPod or nothing else could fill. It gives me like a new perspective.
Before Jesus, it was all about me. All the earthly possessions I could attain, and it was never enough. But after Jesus, I finally realized what life truly was about. It was about being a servant and being humble and trying to put others before yourself. That's when I found my Jesus.
When I was facing big decisions in my life, it was really difficult for me at first because I didn't know how to trust God. I didn't have that relationship with Him, and before, everything was just kind of came to me, like my parents provided for me, and it wasn't too hard to see the next step. But then when I came to those big plans, I had to trust Him to make everything come together. And several times I've seen Him pull through, and every single time He shows me that He does work for His glory, and I can know that every step of my life is for Him, and I don't have to worry about making the wrong decision anymore.
Jesus has rewritten my life story by helping me realize His truths. So many times I listen to the lies that Satan says about me or tries to say about my family. But the game changer in rewriting my life story is listening and realizing Jesus' truths for my life.
I didn't realize at the time it was a new beginning, but I was baptized as an adult, which was an absolute life-changing experience for me. And I realized then that that was the beginning of my life. To see what God does to work through me, it's just amazing. And I've just, my saying, it's what's on my phone, it's everything else. God is awesome. He can turn anybody's life around. And I was fortunate enough that He did it for me.
Well, I am convinced that every person has a story to tell. The question is, does my story point back to the one true story? See, my name is Eric, and it's always a humbling experience to stand before you as we open up God's Word together, because I'm a sinner. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. But I can stand before you today because the precious gift of Jesus Christ that He's given me that allows me to live by grace each and every day. Now, I love movies. I like making movies. I like watching movies. I love going to the movie theater. But there's one thing I've noticed, that there are two different types of people. There's people that like to go to the movie and watch, and there's people that like to go to the movie and talk. Have you been around these people? I mean, they seem like nice folks, but when the lights go down, they just want to talk and talk and talk, and they ask all sorts of questions. You know, where was this made, and what's happening, and I thought He was with them. Isn't He with them, and what's going on? And, you know, you want to say to these people, would you just be quiet? Let the movie happen. Unfortunately, we are people that naturally, we don't like surprises. I mean, we want to see what's coming. We want to know what's ahead of us. Unfortunately, life's not really like that. I mean, life is full of surprises. We have ups and downs and twists and turns. I mean, life is full of the unexpected. Why is that? Because we are not the author of life. You know, I've also noticed that every great story has one common theme, one common element, and that is deliverance. I mean, think about it. Think of your favorite movie, your favorite book, your favorite story. There is an element of deliverance. I mean, Dorothy delivers Oz from the Wicked Witch. Luke Skywalker, he saves the galaxy from the evil empire. And then there's Frodo. Frodo, he delivers Middle Earth, you know, from the control of Sauron. And you can think about any story. There's hundreds and hundreds of them. I mean, the stories where the hero, he saves the nation and the people from, you know, an evil, you know, a terrible villain or an evil invader. But, you know, deliverance doesn't have to just be big. It can be small also. It can be personable. It can be intimate. I think about that story of the Lion King. You have Simba that is delivered from his past mistakes, his shame. I think about that little movie, you know, with the little clown fish. The father was Marlin, and he was just, you know, overwhelmed with so many different fears that he could hardly leave his home until his son gets lost. And finally, he has to overcome those fears, and he delivers his son Nemo back home. I think of that story of King George VI. He was also known as Birdie. He was reluctant to take the throne to become king of England because he had a speech problem. He was so overwhelmed with, you know, some of his fears that he would stutter and stammer and he could hardly speak until he was finally delivered from his fears and so he could give a king's speech. But what about you? Have you ever experienced deliverance? Have you ever been rescued from addiction, saved from abuse, relieved from the weight of sin and shame and guilt in your life? Well, you know, from the very beginning of time, God has been in the business of writing stories of deliverance in the lives of his people that all point back to the one true story. Do you know his story? The Gospel of John, chapter 1, says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. His name was Jesus. And the Bible is very clear about what Jesus' purpose was here on this earth. In fact, John 3:17 says, God sent his Son to the world not to judge the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus even goes on to say himself, John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, I have come so that you may have life and may have it abundantly. You see, your life, my life, they are a precious gift from God. And as we journey through this world, our time here on earth is going to be filled with all sorts of different experiences. Some of them good, some of them bad, some of them just downright ugly. But here's the thing you need to remember. No matter what your experience is, you need to remember that that is part of your story. This morning I want to share with you three things that I believe we all experience in every one of our lives. So if you're taking notes this morning, you can flip over on the back page of your order of worship. You see a little lesson outline. If you're keeping score, point number one. In every one of our lives, good or great accomplishments, and there are wonderful experiences. You see, for every one of us here, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you've been recognized, won a prize, or been acknowledged for your achievements. Every single person here is good at something. I know that because God gives us different talents and abilities that you can use in his kingdom. Now, it doesn't matter if you've been recognized for your accomplishments or what you do well. You have them. You have those talents. But also, along life, we also get to experience some really wonderful times. I mean, times of joy, times of happiness, those moments in life that just, you know, warm our hearts and keep our souls. It's those moments in life that really keep us going. It's those moments in life that we really hold on to. But, you know, as we go through life, sometimes we get caught up in thinking that those great accomplishments, those wonderful experiences, that we create all those things. Sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that when life is going good, it's all because of what I've got going on. But the reality is, none of it comes from us. I remember a few years ago, there was a graduation ceremony at Abilene Christian University. For those of you that have been there before, graduation happens in Moody Coliseum. And the graduates, they come in and they sit down on the floor and they're wearing, you know, the usual graduation outfit, you know, the black robe and the black graduation cap and the tassel and all that kind of stuff. And on this particular day, as they were, you know, filing in, sitting on the floor, friends and family are sitting up above, looking down upon them. And you could see just a kind of a sea of black graduation caps. But there was one that really stuck out. A gracious young lady had written a message on the top side of her graduation cap. Very bold, very clear what she was trying to communicate. Had three words. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we don't know what her story is. Maybe it was the fact that she struggled through college. Maybe she had a difficult time getting through her classes, and the fact that she made it to graduation day was a miracle in itself. Or maybe it was, financial struggles. You know, to go to college, not cheap these days. And maybe it was a lot of prayers, a lot of asking, and at the right time, you know, scholarships, grants, those came in that so she was able to finish her academic career. We don't know what her story is, but what we do know is that she was acknowledging where all good gifts come from, and that is Jesus Christ. You see, James chapter 1, verse 17 says, all good gifts come from above. Unfortunately, sometimes we forget that. But you know, it becomes so much easier in our life when we realize that we're not the creator of all good things. We're not the creator of all those good experiences in life. Instead, if we would turn our control over to God, we could truly experience the blessing of all those things. Now, there's a second thing that we all experience in our life, and that is dumb mistakes. Anybody ever do any of these? I mean, lock your keys in your car, drop your cell phone in the toilet, I mean, miss an easy putt, or maybe pull up in your car to a stop sign singing at the top of your lungs, you look over and the car next to you is just laughing their heads off. I mean, we all have different experiences which we wish we could take back. We all have those things in those days in our life where we wish we could rewrite our story. I had one of those not too long ago. I do a lot of cycling. I ride my bike a lot. And some of you that live out in my neighborhood, you know that because you see me every now and then. I see you. You honk, you wave, you smile, you laugh. I get it. I understand, because when I'm biking, I'm all in. All right? I got the hat or the helmet. I got the shoes. I got the biking shorts. I mean, I'm all in. So I might as well just go ahead and apologize for all of you that live in Greatwood and have to see that on a regular basis. Probably need to apologize to the rest of you. You now have that mental pictures burned into your brains. You won't get rid of that till later this afternoon. But a couple weeks ago, I was out riding. It was end of the day, and kind of rush hour, a lot of cars, a lot of traffic. And right now at Greatwood, they're repaving some of the roads, and so there's some sections of the road that go from two lanes down to one lane. And I pulled up to this stop sign, and about the same time, a kind of a work truck pulled up next to me. And so I waved him on, you know, go ahead of me and I'll just follow. And so we started down this one little, you know, narrow section of the road, and we weren't going real fast, 5, maybe 10 miles an hour. And I don't know why, but this truck decided to stop suddenly. Now, I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention or if my head was down, but suddenly the back of that truck started coming very close to me. Now, luckily, I have cat-like reflexes. I couldn't get to my brakes, but I began to swerve my bike over to one side to try to go around the truck, and I almost made it. I clipped the back of this guy's bumper. I go off my bike, over the construction barrels, into the, wait for it, wet cement. Head to toe, I am covered in wet cement. Let's just say I made quite the impression on that construction crew. They were not real pleased with me after I messed up their hard day's work. But we all have those days where we do something that we wish we could take back. We wish we could do it over again. But you know, sometimes those dumb mistakes, those accidents we do, sometimes they really stick with us. Sometimes they really, you know, they just mess up our day and mess up our mind. We worry about what other people are thinking, and we worry about what's going to happen, and we fret, and we have all this anxiety. But you know, that's not how God wants us to live. He doesn't want us to let those mistakes that we make in our life define who we are. You know, 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast your cares unto God, for he cares for you." He doesn't want to allow us to spend our life worrying about those things. Instead, we need to learn to laugh at ourselves when we make those silly mistakes, those things that we wish we could change, but we can't. Instead, we just need to move on, which kind of comes to our next area of life. In every person's life, there are also some bad decisions and sinful choices. Now, these are different from dumb mistakes. These are very clearly a choice that we are making between good and bad, right and wrong. This is very specifically a turn from God toward sin. Now, there's none of us that are exempt from this area. In fact, Romans chapter 3, verse 22 says, "For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But thankfully, that's not where the story ends. The story continues on. Romans chapter 5. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. But not only so, because we also rejoice in our sufferings." And this is where Paul is talking about life. The good, the bad, the ugly. Because we know that our sufferings produce perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope, it does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which he's given us. Now here's the important part. Verse 6, it says, "At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." That's you and I. "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I told you, every great story talks about deliverance. Now, I know that some of you feel like you don't have a great story. You love Jesus, but you still struggle with pornography. You love Jesus, but you're still obsessed with money. You love Jesus, but you're still holding on to resentment and anger. You love Jesus, but yet you medicate your guilt with food and drink. But here's the thing. Something we all need to remember. We are not the hero of our story. See, it's not your job to save the world, to save your friends, to save your family, or even to save yourself. Because we have a beautiful, a wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, who has already paid the price for our dumb mistakes. He has already paid the price for our bad decisions. He has already paid the price, which gives us that grace that washes away all those mistakes we make. He doesn't remember, but sometimes I still do. And sometimes That's what we have a hard time doing. Forgiving ourselves. I talk to so many people, and they'll talk about how they're struggling in their relationship with God, and it'll continually go back to maybe one point in their life. Something that they have done that they know hurt themselves and hurt their relationship with God. And they, even though they've asked for forgiveness, even though they've, taken those steps to really make things right in their own life, they have a hard time forgiving themselves. Here's a key principle that I think we all need to remember. If our past mistakes have driven you back into the presence of God, then they have served their purpose. In other words, if you've gotten to that point in your life where you are powerless, where you can't do it on your own, and you're thinking to yourself, what am I going to do? I mean, it can't get any worse. I can't get out of this mess by myself. Well, that's at that point where you turn to God and say, God, I need you to help me get my life back on track. I need you to help make a course correction in my life. If your past mistakes drive you back to a relationship with God, then they have served their purpose, and that is part of your story. You know, here at First Colony, we give you lots of different opportunities to talk to people about Jesus, about a relationship with God. You can invite them to come to church or to your connection group or to one of our great events. But do you realize what the very best tool that this church has for inviting others into a relationship with Jesus Christ? It's your story. It's the opportunities that you take each and every day with your coworkers, with your neighbors, with your friends, with your family, where you're talking to them about what good things God has done in your life, how times that, you've messed up and made a dumb mistake, or maybe even a time where you've really made a poor decision. But yet, even though you struggle at different times, God is there for you. You feel peace. You feel the security. You feel the love of your relationship with Jesus Christ that is offered to you through the Holy Spirit. And that's what we share with those folks. Because my story is His story. So what do you think would happen in your life if you were to let God write the story of your life rather than you always trying to be in control? What would happen if you said, God, I'm tired of writing. I'm going to give you the pen and the paper. I want you to write the rest of my story. How would that look different? Would it mean giving some things up? Would it mean changing your focus? Would it mean denying yourself and giving control over to God? Yeah. But let me tell you, once you get to that point, there is no greater joy. There is no greater freedom when you realize it's not my accomplishments, it's not my dumb mistakes, it's not just my bad decisions, but all of those things are covered in God's grace. This morning, we want to give you an opportunity to respond. You can do so first by just taking that communication card you have in your order of worship. You'll see on the back side of that, there's an opportunity for you to write in some prayer requests. We actually take those each week, and our elders, our shepherds, pray over all of those names and all of your prayer requests. You can take those and turn them in just a moment. But also, we're going to have a time of prayer. In fact, I want to ask you to go ahead and stand right where you're at. And in just a moment, our shepherds are going to come take their place up here. We're going to sing and play a couple songs. You have an opportunity to come forward, pray with our shepherds. If there's something on your heart this morning, something that you want to ask specific prayers for, you can pray right where you're at. You can pray up here in front or in the back with any of our shepherds. We want to invite you to take this opportunity to do so. As we enter into this time of prayer, I want to pray for us as we transition. Everybody, let's bow our heads as we pray. Father God, we are so thankful for the life that you've given to us. We know it is a precious gift from you, And Father, we know that we have all sorts of different experiences, some of them wonderful and good. Some of them are so hard. And sometimes it's difficult to feel when we feel like we're alone, when we know the things that we have done. Sometimes the guilt and the shame of our sin. Oh, Father, it is hard. We ask that you would be with us so that not only we would ask for forgiveness, but Father, we would feel true forgiveness from your Spirit as we call on your name. Father, I know that there are some here that have been thinking about that decision, whether or not that they want to commit their life to Christ, be baptized. Father, I pray that you would give them the strength, the courage to move forward, to take that first step. Father, we know it's not our power, it's not our accomplishments, but Father, it's all because of what you have done for our life. It's in Jesus' name that we continue to pray. Amen.